Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to yet another exciting, action-packed edition of Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. We are not with Marco Thompson this week. He's out on assignment. But however, who is with me this week is the above-average comedian, Dan Law.
Hi!
And joining us as well is Ryan Big Red.
Hey guys, how's things going?
Well, okay then. Everyone, we are today is going to be a great show. We have Adam Cole from Ring of Honor. He's going to come back to the ECWA this Saturday night. So we have him. We're going to talk with him coming up in just a few moments. We're also going to have Robert Knight. He's going to answer some fan mail, and he has some pretty exciting fan mail, doesn't he, Dan?
One from a very, very, very famous person.
Yes, and of course we're going to have Omega Squad. He was so great last week. We're just going to have him back on. This time we're going to talk about UFC 146, the results there. Ryan Big Red, when he can finally talk again, will be joining us for the preview of ECWA Raising the Bar.
Raising the Bar.
And then we will also be joined by Mark Angel of New Moon Rising Wrestling and Devastation Wrestling Federation, I believe it is. So he will be joining us as well. And I would be remiss if I did not bring up that we will also have Mark Angelosetti of the Throwbacks from Chikara. He will be here to talk about he's actually in a match with Colt Cabana, the NWA World Heavyweight Champion. So that should be something. Get his thoughts and see what's going on. Now, Dan, what do you think about this show?
Probably as far as star power, minus the Greek god, I don't want to insult him any further, probably the best show we've had lined up.
So far,
in
so
my
good.
Opinion.
So far, so good.
And
so,
maybe a couple surprises here and there. You never know.
You never know. You never know. I'm just graciously waiting to see if that switchboard lights up.
If and not, we could have a pretty boring show.
It will be just Dan and I talking about things. How
so, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good, Dan.
Good.
I'm doing pretty good.
That's good.
But without switching too many things around right now, I do want to talk a little bit about us. You can subscribe on iTunes. Just search for Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. You can also follow us on the Twitter. That is the Twitter.
Twitter. The Twitter.
That is twitter.com/HIAC Talk Radio. And you can also follow the show on blogtalkradio.com. Anytime I add an episode, you will be informed of it probably quicker than Dan is.
Yeah, I don't even – are we on the air?
We are on the air live right now from the beautiful Woodbury American Legion Post 133.
WGTW Channel 19, Wilmington.
That's right. And, but I guess what I'm going to talk about right now is Ryan.
They don't ever call when they say they would?
Yeah, Ryan, are you can talk right now, Ryan.
Are we sure it's safe? Is it safe to talk? I'm a little worried right now.
It is safe to talk.
Safe? Is it safe?
What I'm going to go into a little bit, we're just switching things
around.
You
never know. I mean,
you never know, that's for sure. But since I got you, we might as well go over. You were on the TNA call today.
I think we're on a
great experience.
Now, just give us some of the highlights of that TNA press conference that you had the pleasure to be on.
Well, one of the things that was mentioned was asked was about them going live for the summer, and whether or not that was just going to be the summer, was it going to be permanent, how many weeks, et cetera, et cetera. As of right now, 12 weeks is where they're going live. There's 1 week before pay-per-view they're going to try and get to go live. Okay. So they're going to try for a total of 13 weeks. They are, however, looking to make it a permanent live. They're in talks with Spike. They're working on a new contract as we speak with Spike to go live permanently.
Now, was there any chance to talk about, like, Brooke Hogan joining the show, anything like that? Were there any questions that were asked about that?
Absolutely. Well,
okay, give me a little bit about that.
One of the questions that was asked was, why Brooke Hogan? Why not bring in back someone like Scott D'Amore?
Daphne.
Someone with experience with the Knockout Division. Jazz's name was thrown out, I believe.
Daphne.
Daphne's name wasn't thrown out, though, but that was one of the questions asked. And Dixie talked about how when she met Brooke a couple of years ago, they really bonded. Dixie was big in music. She had a music career of her own. And that really impacted her connection with Brooke.
Okay. Like anything, just give me a brief, like, the highlights. Do you have, like, notes prepared as far as, like, different things that were talked about?
Yes, I do, actually. So let me give you some of the best ones out of here. Let me go through my notes and pull a few big things.
Yeah. Pull it out.
They are renegotiating. They're actually currently renegotiating contracts with a few top talents.
Okay.
So that's a big thing right now. Spike wanted them to actually go to 3 hours instead of two. So they wanted them to go from 8 to 11 to bridge the gap before, I believe it's MMA that comes on after, the live MMA show.
Yeah.
And they wanted them for 3 hours to bridge the gap. And TNA, you know, Dixie said no, they didn't want to go 3 hours. They felt that 2 hours right now was in their best interest. They felt like if they went three, they'd really be overextending things, and also they had an aspect that she, and this is one of the things she brought up a couple times, they're more concerned with a good product, that, you know, quality compared to quantity, so they don't want to go for 3 hours on that. Let's see, she talked about Brooke on there. She said that Brooke will not wrestle. She's going to be a on-screen character, but she finds Brooke to be very intelligent, and she's going to bring a lot of needed exposure to the Knockouts. Let's see here. A couple other things to talk about. She was talking about how she feels competition is extremely important with WWE. The question that was asked specifically was that within the last year, what is her feelings as far as noticing a shift in how WWE is viewed competition? So she went on a good, I'd say, 3-4 minute tangent about how competition will ultimately benefit everybody.
Okay. So that sounds good. We'll get more into it a little bit later on.
Sounds good.
But now, what I want to do, Adam Cole, he will be making a return to ECWA coming up this Saturday night. And he's going to be facing the Greek Guy Papadon in a match that ECWA fans are really looking forward to. What I want to do right now is he recorded a message for the ECWA fans, and I just want to share that with everyone.
Long time no see, ECWA fans. That's right. I, Adam Cole, will be returning to the ECWA June 2nd in a really, really big match for me. I'm wrestling the current ECWA heavyweight champion, Papadon. And Papadon, I want to tell you something. I've noticed there are two kinds of wrestlers in this world. There are ones that wait for opportunity, and there are ones that take it. And with all due respect, you are someone who takes that opportunity. Some said that your title reign, your current title reign, is the greatest in that championship's history. And I can't argue with that. Some people have also said, you being the Super 8 winner, that you are currently the best professional wrestler, pound for pound, in the ECWA. And that's true. If you hold that championship, if you win the Super 8, there is no argument. You are the very best. You have very little weaknesses, Papadon, but one that I have noticed is your current overlooking of your opponents. Papadon, you've done great, you've done awesome in your championship reign, but you continue time and time again to look at your opponents as peasants, to look at your opponents is not worthy of stepping into the ring with the Greek god. And that, Papa Don, is where you make your mistake. Because I can promise you, now that I've returned to the ECWA, there is nothing I want more than to hold that championship that you currently have around your waist. And if you decide to overlook me, if you look past Adam Cole, you will be in for a very, very rude awakening. So on June 2nd, Papa Don, when me and you go toe-to-toe in a match that some have said will be one of the greatest matches in ECWA history, don't overlook Adam Cole, because that precious championship that you have may no longer be yours.
So definitely some strong words there by Adam Cole. I'm going to play his theme music, and then we're going to get right to Adam. Adam Cole, I would like to welcome you to Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. How are you doing tonight, Adam?
I'm doing very good. Thank you guys very much for having me on the program tonight.
Oh, definitely not a problem, and we're very excited about this. Before we get into June 2nd and everything, I just want to know, when you were growing up, you didn't have much of a you weren't allowed to watch wrestling. Your parents didn't allow it. So how did you finally get the chance to start watching wrestling, and when did that become something that you wanted to do for your living?
Sure. Yeah. Well, I've stated before in previous interviews and stuff like that, I grew up, I had the best childhood, man. I had really, really loving parents, a very loving mother, very loving father, and just a great younger brother. And I grew up in just a awesome environment and an awesome household. But wrestling had always kind of piqued my interest, I think because I was curious, because I wasn't allowed to watch it. Because wrestling was going through that very interesting phase at that time where it was becoming very sexual and very violent. This is like the late 90s where wrestling really started to kind of take a tide and take a turn, and they were really projecting to that 18 to 35 male demographic as far as, you know, bringing fans in. So my parents weren't really interested in me, you know, watching any of this, considering I grew up in a really conservative area. But then eventually my parents split, and what had happened was I had started taking karate lessons. And I kind of looked at my sensei, my instructor, as almost like a father figure. I remember I would train in karate Monday through Friday, and I would get there early to work on technique, and I would stay late to work on conditioning and things like that. I loved everything about what I was doing. And I'll never forget one particular day I'd gotten there early, and my instructor was running on the treadmill, and he was watching a taped Raw from the night before, and it was Kane and Stone Cold Steve Austin putting Paul Bearer in a sewer. And I remember it like it was yesterday. And he looked over at me and said, "Oh, do you watch wrestling? Do you watch the WWF?" And I said, "Oh, yeah, I watch it all the time," when in reality I'd never seen it before, but I wanted to fit in with him so badly. So he said, "Okay." Well, he goes, "Well, if you get a written note from your parents, I'll let you borrow WrestleMania 15 from this year." So I went home and I begged my mom. I was like, "Mom, please, you got to let me borrow this tape." Not even because I was interested in wrestling, but just because I wanted something to relate with my instructor. And I guess she assumed that because some karate instructor who's teaching young kids about honor and discipline and respect was watching the WWF, that it couldn't be that bad. So she gave me the written note, and I ended up borrowing WrestleMania 15, and man, I was a giant fan ever since. I was like just captivated by Steve Austin, captivated by The Rock. I loved every second of the videotape. It was really, really awesome.
Now, going along with that, what was the first match that you said, "This is it, this is wrestling"?
Yeah, it's actually funny because the first tape that I saw that year of Steve Austin and The Rock at WrestleMania 15, I was a giant fan, and I knew I really enjoyed watching it. But actually the match that made me want to be a wrestler was 2 years later at WrestleMania 17 with the same two guys. It was The Rock and Steve Austin. And the situation was I remember before that people had talked to me about how when they would listen to a song or when they would see a scene in a movie or watch a piece of theater or whatever it was, if they were moved by something, they said they would get goosebumps shooting up their spine and all over their body. And I never understood what that meant. I just didn't relate to that. As far as I was concerned, goosebumps were something that you got when you were chilly or when you were cold. So I had no idea what these people were talking about. But I'll never forget the build-up for that match and, you know, Limp Bizkit's My Way music video. And I'm going back to the Astrodome and Howard Finkel on the, you know, the loudspeaker. And when Steve Austin's music hit and 67,000 people simultaneously rose to their feet and exploded for the idea of their hero coming out to the ring, I had goosebumps. I'm getting goosebumps right now talking about it. They just completely shot up my spine, and I said, man, I love being a wrestling fan, but being a wrestling fan is not going to be good enough for me. I need to be involved in this. And then they went on to have just that epic match that they did with all the twists and turns. And I remember I was so blown away by the finish. But I remember that particular moment in 2001 where I told myself, I said, okay, when I grow up, when I graduate school, you know, professional wrestling is what I'm going to get myself involved in.
Now, going along with that, you also you were still a senior in high school when you enrolled in the CZW Academy. Now, how did that work? You were with you met with DJ Hyde. I mean, what exactly happened?
Sure. Well, what had happened was is all through school, like you know, as my interest in pro wrestling grew, obviously so did my interest in multiple different promotions. Like you know, I was into the WWE. I was into WCW, I was into ECW, and then as those faded, and, you know, companies like Ring of Honor, companies like CZW, and then international promotions like New Japan Pro Wrestling and AAA and CMLL and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Any kind of wrestling I could get my hands on, I was checking out. So what had happened was is I had found out CZW was kind of in our area. So me and a couple buddies of mine from high school, we would go to these CZW shows, and we'd watch the show, and then after the show, we would hang around the back of the famous ECW arena to try to meet these guys and just get pictures with them and talk to them and things like that because we were just such giant fans. And DJ Hyde is a very approachable, very nice guy, actually, in real life. So what had happened was I'd met DJ, and me and DJ had got to talking, and I finally built up the courage to tell him that when I graduate high school, I want to be a wrestler. And he told me, he said, well, why don't you come down and try out now? He goes, why wait till after you graduate high school? And I told him, you know, the money situation would be an issue. I had a part-time job at the time that was, you know, barely taking care of me. And I was 2 hours away from the school at the time. And I realized that there was no way I could go down to a school Monday through Thursday and then try to, you know, finish high school at the same time and while living under my parents' roof and convincing them that this was going to be all right. But to DJ Hyde's credit, he told me, he goes, listen, he goes, you only have to come down one day a week if that's all you can make. And he goes, as far as money goes, as long as you end up paying the tuition of the school, he goes, I'll work with you. And to me, that was it. I was completely sold. I said at that point, I'm like, okay, I have a chance to get in a wrestling ring. I'm going to absolutely take this opportunity. So, yeah, I started training my senior year of high school with DJ Hyde and John Dahmer because DJ was so lenient with me and he worked with me on that. And I'm really, really thankful for that to this day.
Now, what did you, for all the training you had in the CZW, what did you take away with it, or what was the most important thing that you learned there, period?
I would say the biggest thing to me was the toughness that they instilled in us from the very beginning. I remember DJ Hyde and John Dahmer were very adamant about making sure that the training that we went through was going to be harder than anything that we ever dealt with when it came to actually becoming a pro wrestler. So when you're in a situation, a pro wrestling match, where if something isn't going the right way or if things aren't going as planned or vice versa or whatever the situation may be, we'll always be able to look back at training and go, well, gosh, this was never as hard as training at least. And that's exactly what happened. at the CZW school, man, they beat the crap out of us. And they really made us earn our stripes and kind of pay our dues like you hear all the time as far as wanting to become a wrestler. They made sure that before you went out and had your first match, you went through every possible beating necessary and like every kind of situation, too, to where you were just ready for anything that was thrown at you. So that was the biggest thing for me as far as the CZW training, like as far as the curriculum from that, you know, 6 to 10 p.m., you know, on a Wednesday or a Thursday when you would train, was that when you got done with that, you felt very confident in knowing that you could pretty much take anything, that you could deal with anything that was thrown at you.
Now, you made your CZW debut, at no pun intended, on June 21st, 2008. So what was that like, getting out there for CZW for the very first time?
Oh, it was so nerve-wracking, man. Because, you know, obviously I was such a big fan of CZW. And then any time you train at a school and then you get to debut for that home promotion, you just want to do extra good because you're representing the school, you're representing your trainers. You've almost become friends with some of the guys in the locker room. So you want to do all that you can to make the best possible impression. And then on top of that, CZW has the reputation that it does. And that you need to deliver, those fans are going to eat you alive. So it was very, very nerve-wracking. Actually, that no pun intended show, that was my eighth match I had ever had. So I was very, very nervous, very, very intimidated. And like I said, I just wanted to make a really, really good first impression. I remember at the time, too, John Zandig was still the owner, and he was there watching the show, so I wanted to impress him. So there were a lot of emotions going through my body. And I remember when it was finished, I was so happy and I was so relieved that it went well. Just because of the pressure that you put on yourself to just perform and do well. But, yeah, very, very nerve-wracking experience for sure. And, you know, obviously in my career, many more to come. But, yeah, very intimidating. But I'll never forget that relief that I felt when that match was over.
Now, going through the first couple of years in CZW, what were some of the major feuds that you had during that time? Just, like, pick maybe, like, the most important one that you felt got you to the next level.
Yeah, well, actually, I think, if you don't mind, I'll keep it real short, but I actually think there are two of them.
That's fine.
And, yeah, the first one that I had was me as a babyface in CZW when I was there. When I first started in CZW, I had a team with actually a high school buddy of mine. His name's Tyler Veritas. Now he's Ty Hagen, and me and him were teaming for a while. And then there was a little bit of direction change with CZW and the way that they were going to run things to where I actually became a singles guy. And I began feuding with Sabian, who's now the Black G's. And Sabian was a guy actually who, when I was just a fan of CZW, he was one of the guys that made me want to watch CZW. I just loved everything that the guy did, and I admired him and looked up to him as an athlete and as a pro wrestler. So then there was a situation where I ended up feuding with him over the CZW junior heavyweight title, which I eventually ended up winning. And I just remember I really felt like I grew as a performer and as a wrestler and really started learning because he was so unselfish and all that and, you know, really, really helped me develop into the wrestler that I've become and really, really taught me a lot throughout that feud. And then also, fast forward, you know, about a year later, as I was still CZW junior heavyweight champion, my long feud that I had with Sammy Callahan, this time as a heel champion, wrestling him, I think by far, actually, some of my favorite pieces of work that I've done, not just in CZW, but in pro wrestling as a whole, have been with Sammy Callahan. I just think the feud worked perfect for Sammy's look and who he was. He's the prototypical babyface for a CZW crowd, and I was the perfect heel to counteract Sammy. So, and because Sammy is so good and so talented, I really think that we got to create some magic in our feud and things like that. And I really feel like I learned how to be a heel and learned how to, you know, be in an angle and things like that. And like I said, I really, really hold my feud with Sammy very, very near and dear to me, and I'm still very, very proud of those matches. So probably those two feuds are the ones in CZW that I think were most influential to me in my career.
And going along with that, on May 8th, 2010, you did win the CZW World Junior Heavyweight Championship, which you spoke briefly on. Now, what you defeated Sabian for that. My question is, what was that like, winning your first major title in the sport?
Oh, it was huge, man. It was one of those situations where it's so interesting because in pro wrestling, you don't really, just to be completely honest, there's lots of times when pro wrestlers don't really have time to sit back and smell the roses. And what I mean by that is you want to sit back and you want to appreciate and kind of cherish an accomplishment that you had, but you don't really have time to do so because you're focused on the next show, you're focused on the next booking, and you're constantly focused on getting better and making sure now that I have, you know, hold this championship, that now I have to deliver these matches and show that I'm worthy to the audience and to the guys in the locker room that I'm worthy of holding a championship like this. So actually the pressure just completely increases. But I remember that night I really, really stepped back and just was very thankful for, you know, being given this opportunity to do that. And I took that title very, very seriously. Like, I defended that championship, you know, in the United States. I defended it in England. I defended it in Germany. You know, I tried to make it as much of a world junior heavyweight championship as I could, and I knew how serious this opportunity and this platform for me to not only help myself get better, but just to get the championship moreover was really, really prominent here. So, like I said, it meant a lot to me. I knew the pressure really, really increased, and I actually ended up becoming the longest reigning CZW World Junior Heavyweight Champion of all time, which is an honor, like I said, that I hold very, very near and dear to me. And I would like to think that the hard work that I put into just putting on great matches with that title on the line really, really paid off.
Now, in 2011, I believe, in April, I believe, you were in the Best of the Best 10. What was it like it being in the tournament at that point, 10 years old and very prestigious as far as the indie wrestling scene goes?
Sure. I mean, you know, Best of the Best, I think, is arguably one of the greatest independent wrestling tournaments on the circuit today, bar none. CZW is notoriously known for bringing in names from all over the world. You know, I remember that particular tournament. There were guys from England. There were guys from Germany. There were guys from Japan. You know, there were guys in the United States. So it was a really, really big tournament. And, again, you know, I had held the CZW Junior Heavyweight Championship for a decent amount of time at that point, but I still felt like I had a lot to prove. And I felt like Best of the Best was going to be my platform to show that, you know, not only am I worthy of being a Junior Heavyweight Champion, but I wanted to make my name and say I'm going to be a guy that's never forgotten here in CZW. And I completely used that tournament, you know, as that platform to do that. And like I said, you know, the tournament was just filled with so many talented guys. Man, that was such an exhausting weekend. I remember in those 3 days, I had 7 matches in 72 hours. So I was just, completely drained by the end of that tournament. And it wasn't like, too, it wasn't 7 easy matches. I mean, these were tournament matches where a lot of people had a lot of eyes on you. So every match that you had needed to be just the absolute best that you could bring to the table. So I remember by the end of that weekend, again, it was very similar to when I won the junior title in the sense of I was very, very relieved when that entire weekend was over, but I felt like I did my job and I did the best I could.
And then I believe, I might be wrong, was it just 2000, I think it was 2012 earlier, this Ring of Honor, or was it in 2009, excuse me?
Yeah, 2009.
Yeah, thank you, Dean. What was it like when they came to you and they said, we want you to work here, they want to sign a contract with us?
Yeah, that was an interesting story also, because I remember at that point, probably for about a year and a half, I had been doing dark matches for Ring of Honor, just trying to get my name in there and just trying to work for a company as prestigious as ROH. And I had time and time again done these dark matches, and over time from Adam Pearce and all the different guys in the office telling me, oh yeah, you did a very good job, but I wasn't getting a contract offer. So I knew that there needed to be something changed in my game to kind of impress them and to get them to go, hey, we want to bring this guy on the road with us. So I remember saying, okay, well, I had sent all these matches to Adam Pearce and I had sent all these matches to Ring of Honor, and they seemed to like my matches. But I need to send them something more. I need to give them something more to say that they want to sign me to a contract. So I'd sent Adam Pearce a bunch of promos of mine, and he was really, really impressed with the promos. So what had happened was instead of having me do a dark match, he brought me to TVs to do a dark in-ring promo to where I just came to the ring and I cut an in-ring promo instead of having a match because Adam Pearce really liked my talking. And luckily for me, Jim Cornette happened to be paying attention, and Adam Pearce was like, hey, Cornette, pay attention to this, and Cornette was really impressed. So what happened was I did the promo, I came to the back, and pretty much right then and there we said, hey, would you be interested in signing a contract with the Ring of Honor? And I said, absolutely, and that was kind of how it went. So all that happened so fast, but I was really, really, again, just so stoked to be able to work for a company like ROH, which in my opinion is the best wrestling, pure wrestling company in the entire world. So I knew this was going to be a big step for me in my career.
So what was Cornette directly involved with anything you did? And if he was, what was it like working with Cornette?
Working with Jim has been such an honor, no pun intended, considering it's ROH. Jim is just so smart, and he's so unselfish too, in sharing his knowledge and you know, wanting people to learn as much as they can and get better and things like that. And Jim has been so helpful to all the guys in ROH, whether it be, you know, with promos, with in-ring product, or, you know, just how to do angles and things like that. So any kind of one-on-one time with Jim Cornette, I just look at as completely invaluable and priceless, because, you know, a lot of people would love that opportunity to learn from a guy who has, you know, been on top of the wrestling industry in a manager role for so, so long, you know, and in booking roles as well. So, you know, me as well as a lot of the guys in Ring of Honor take full advantage of Jim Cornette being there. And I really feel, too, that Jim has helped me understand and get a grasp of, you know, the real art of pro wrestling. And, yeah, he's been awesome, man. He's been so, so helpful.
Now, what has your year in Ring of Honor been like? Because this year things have really been turned up to 11, let's just say. You in Ring of Honor this year, just describe what that's like, your matches with Davey Richards, going for the title, pay-per-view, you got the pinfall over him. I just want to know what that's like for you as a professional now, still moving up that chain, still trying to get there. What has this year been like for you in Ring of Honor?
This year has been, I would call it the next chapter in my wrestling career. And, you know, what I mean by this is that the Ring of Honor locker room is so special for so many reasons. But if I were to pinpoint it as far as to why it's so special as opposed to other locker rooms, is every single guy in that dressing room, in that locker room, has an undeniable desire to be the very best wrestler in the entire world. There is nobody in that locker room that doesn't want to walk around one day and say, I'm the greatest wrestler alive. And that is a really, really cool atmosphere to be in. No one's bitter. No one's angry. No one's disgruntled. You know, everyone has that desire and passion to be the very best. So when you're in a situation like that where, you know, you're feeding off of each other, everyone is just putting on the absolute best matches that they possibly can. Everyone's growing. Everyone's learning. And in turn, the fans are getting complimented for that as well, because in turn Ring of Honor puts on great shows every single time because you got a locker room full of guys who just want to be the very best. So this entire experience for me has been one of those, okay, you know, I'm being given an opportunity, I'm being given a shot to be a main eventer here in Ring of Honor and grow, and I'm learning from some of the best guys in the entire industry. So yeah, like I said, very much with the way that it's been a lot of the times in my career, where a lot of stuff happens really, really fast, and you're put in a sink or swim situation where either you survive and you become better from it, or you get eaten alive and they go, okay, he's not ready. And I'm not going to give anyone an opportunity or give anyone a chance to think that, you know, Adam Cole's not ready for this opportunity. It's the same thing with, you know, my pay-per-view matches or my title matches with Davey or whatever kind of situation I'm in. I'm just looking at this as I'm getting a chance to evolve and grow at a very, very quick rate, not because I want to necessarily, but because I have to just to survive in ROH.
Now, in 2011, Pro Wrestling Illustrated named you, I believe it was number 115 in the top 500 singles wrestlers. Out of all the wrestlers who have been named top 500, how did that feel to you being put in that list?
You know, again, that was just another compliment to all the hard work and all the stuff that's paid off. Because I know a lot of guys, I remember when I first started wrestling, I remember a lot of guys I would talk to, and they would just say that all they ever hoped for was that they could just be number 500. You know, they just wanted to be on the list, on the PWI 500 list. And that was how I felt, too. I remember saying, man, I just want to be on that list. I would love to be on the PWI 500 list. So to be named number 115, again, was just such a motivational tool for me to go, okay, I made it to 115. Okay, there's no reason why next year I can't break the top 100. And then the year after that, maybe I'll break the top 50. And the year after that, maybe I'll get in the top 25. And just constantly moving forward and pushing forward to want to better yourself and things like that. But, yeah, just a huge compliment, you know, huge honor and huge privilege to be on that list and to be that high up on the list, and something, again, that I don't take for granted.
Okay, now, Adam, I do have a caller. Are you willing to take a question from one of your fans?
No, absolutely.
Okay, so caller, I'm getting you on right now. Just state your name and where you're calling from.
I'm calling from New York. And my name is the greatest ECWA champion of all time. The greatest unsigned talent today, the Greek god, Demetrius Papadon. What's going on, people?
Well, hello, Papadon.
I guess I should have expected this. This was coming for sure.
Well, what do you guys got to say? You're just days away from raising the bar.
Well, I got a question.
Sure.
Double D, I got a question. Adam, this question obviously is not for Double D. It's for you. On Sunday morning when you wake up, and even though you were ranked 115 and you were runner-up in the Super 8 tournament last year, a tournament which I won this year, how are you going to feel that all that hard work, all that dedication, all that time in the gym, all that time at wrestling school, you still wasn't good enough to beat the greatest unsigned talent today, the Greek god Papadon? How are you going to reflect on that?
Well, Papadon, again, this is a very opinionated statement and comment/question, because my full intent coming into Saturday is not having to deal with what you're claiming is going to happen on Sunday. When you talk about me being the runner-up and me not being good enough to beat you, I'm very confident and very, believing in my abilities. I think walking away with the ECWA Heavyweight Championship around my shoulder or around my waist is a very, very strong possibility. And then, you know, too, you constantly bring up the Super 8 and how you won the Super 8 tournament this year. Well, let me make this very clear. I wasn't in the Super 8 tournament this year, and I think the result would have been very much different. And you're going to find out exactly what I mean by that come June 2nd, Saturday, at Raising the Bar, when me and you put on what some people, what many people are calling is going to be the greatest match in ECWA history. However, the only thing that me and you disagree on, because we've agreed on many different things, the only thing me and you disagree on is the result. So come June 2nd, I guess the fans are going to find out the true story to that.
Okay, well, first off, it's you and I. If you're going to speak correctly. You and I, not me and you. You're not in the third grade. You don't have the intellect of the peasant.
Well, I guess thank
Delaware.
God June 2nd we're not having a grammar match, right?
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. And we're not having a spelly bee. We're not having a grammar match. We're not having long division contest. We're going to have what we call a clinic. And I am looking forward to not only defeating you, but proving to the world that I'm better than you. Now listen, no disrespect. You came on my show a couple weeks ago.
Sure.
We had a very
sure.
civil conversation, very civil discussion.
I would say it was a love fest. Can I interject just for a second, Papadon? It was really a love fest you two had on Brady's show. Actually, on Papadon's show.
Exactly. Correct yourself. It's my show.
I'm
second
sorry.
Of all,
I spoke
you
out
better
of turn.
Be. You better be. Now, it wasn't a love fest. Okay, we're two grown men. I'm Greek, but not that Greek. So let's get things straight. First off. Second of all, all right, there's an admiration between us because we both achieve greatness. We both strive to be the best in this industry. And obviously Adam and I are going to be two future stars wherever the roads, you know, may lead us, whether it may be internationally, whether it may be nationally in the United States. Who knows? Maybe ROH signs me to a deal and then, you know, I'll surpass him in that promotion as well. But aside from that fact, okay, the kid is talented, and I respect his talent because he puts time and effort into obviously honing his skills in an effort to pay tribute to my ancestors, the Greeks, the ones who invented professional wrestling, the ones who are the forefathers of Western civilization. So as this individual named Adam Cole decides to better his craft and not play wrestler, but actually be part of that 1% on the indies, known as a wrestler, I take it as a compliment towards my Greek culture, my ancestors. So I can't get mad at him at that. The only thing I could get mad at is that when he does cut a promo, he shouldn't cut it in front of his closet door wearing some kind of do-rag or some kind of bandana on his head. Kind of looked like a gay pirate. But aside from that, the promo was very, very entertaining. He got the point across, and it wasn't boring or corny or drizzling shits like Kakoa's promo, the dirty Mexican. So I give him props. But come the second, obviously, we are going to put on the greatest match in ECWA history, and I'm looking forward to it. But I want you to know, Adam, I want you to know, and I want you to know this very well. I'm not taking you lightly. I'm not overlooking you by any means. I called in, and you're talking about ROH. You're talking about Davey Richards. You're talking about your four-way match. You're talking about the title. That's fine. But who's really overlooking June 2nd? You or I? You see? That's how you speak correctly.
Yeah, you know, it's the hard thing is let's just be completely honest on this, too, as far as, pro wrestling goes as a whole. When you talk about when you're talking about who you're facing and you're talking about your opponent, guys who kid themselves into saying, oh, the guy I'm wrestling is no good, the guy who I'm wrestling isn't talented, they're just kidding themselves. And, you know, that is something I pride myself on, and that's something I admire about Papa Don, is like he had said, I don't mean to repeat, what he just stated, but he very much knows what he's getting himself into with me, and I very much know what I'm getting myself into with him. And I think that's why this match is going to be so special, is because I know how talented he is, and I know he's completely on the rise here. He's been on a dominant run in ECWA, and I've said this before, and I'll say it again. I don't think there's anyone that can hold a candle to Papa Don in ECWA. And it's not a love fest deal. I'm speaking facts here. I'm just looking at the facts. And no one can touch him right now. That's completely the fact. And then same with me. I'm a rising star in pro wrestling. I've just recently got off a tour of Mexico. I've been to Japan. I've been to Europe. I've been all over the U.S. I've been to Canada. And I plan to, completely continuing to travel and do things like that and make my name in pro wrestling. And now on June 2nd, you find two guys who, again, are just completely on the rise, two of the hottest guys in the independent scene today, and we're going head-to-head for one of the richest prizes in independent wrestling today, the ECWA Heavyweight Championship, which Papa Don holds. So like I said, you're going to see a very, very interesting matchup with a very, very interesting result. And, Papa Don can judge me based on what I wear and where I decide to speak and things like that, but it's not going to change the outcome of June 2nd. It's really, really not. And I appreciate your attention to detail on everything I've said and projected about you in my promos or my matches or anything like that. I admire that. I really do. But like I said, it's not going to change the fact that June 2nd, when we put on a wrestling clinic, Adam Cole's going to walk away, the ECWA heavyweight champion, not because I want to, but because I need to. I need to prove to myself that in ECWA, my run was not a joke. It wasn't a fluke. It wasn't runner-up. It wasn't second best. It was worthy of, what I went out to, set out to do, and that is, be the very best in the ECWA. And I think if anyone can take that championship off of Papa Don, looking at the list of challengers, and he's faced a lot of great challengers, I don't think he's ever faced anyone like me before. Not saying he's overlooking me. I'm not saying that anymore, because now I'm very aware that he's completely prepared, based on what he's saying on Facebook and Twitter and in interviews and things like that. But like I said, I'm very, very confident that June 2nd, even though Papa Don does not agree, with all due respect, I'm going to walk away with your championship.
Papa Don, rebuttal, and then I gotta let you go after you have your rebuttal here. We're running a little short on time. But go ahead, Papa Don. Say what you got to say to Adam, and let's go.
Well, well, well. Okay. Adam, sir. Quick question. You're very polite when you speak. Were you an Ulta boy when you were younger? I'm just curious. it's just asking a question, first off. I mean,
yeah.
Just no disrespect. I'm just trying to ask a question. I mean, you know, I do admire the fact that, you are a fan of the Greek god, and vice versa. I am a fan of Adam Cole, and obviously there's a mutual respect between us, and I will shake your hand before we step in that ring. Well, not before we step in the ring, before we start our match in my ring, in my company, the company and the title that you're fighting for, which I made relevant again, in the actual house that I built, the Boys and Girls Club down in Newark, Delaware. But aside from that fact, I do admire the fact that you're a fan. It shows you have good taste and you know talent, and vice versa. I know talent, and that's why I'm a fan of you. But let's get one thing straight there, Junior. It took me years to get into this company. And for whatever reason, the doors weren't open, doesn't matter. That's water under the bridge, because I stepped into that company and I blazed the trail like no one has ever done and no one will ever do in the future to come, because I am not losing this title. So when you step in this ring on June 2nd, in my ring, in my company, try to take Big Red, that's the name of my title, 12 pounds of leather and gold, I want you to understand one thing. It's not personal. It's just business.
You have anything to say back, Adam?
I look forward to June 2nd. That's what I have to say.
Okay, Adam, I do want to thank you for coming on. We're running a little bit late, but I want to invite you back in the future because I think we only just glazed some of your career. So anytime in the future that you want to come back on, you're more than welcome.
Sure, sure. Yeah, it would be an absolute pleasure, guys.
Okay, and once again, that's Adam Cole. Dan, did you want to say something?
No, just thank you for giving us the time. It's really well appreciated.
Sure, absolutely. Thank you, guys.
And please have my back when he's going to kill me, too.
Okay, but it was a pleasure, and Adam, I'll see you on Saturday.
All right, great. Thank you, guys.
Okay. So, oh,
wow. That
everyone...
was a great interview and a very fitting ending to that interview. That was very... It's going to be a good Saturday.
It is. It is. And I just want to say before we move along, because like I said, we do have a lot of things going on right now, a few people on hold, but we will be live at the Greater Newark Boys and Girls Club. We're going to do a live pre-show. We will be there starting at 5:30. We're going to try to get as many people on as we can, you know, to get some sound bites before they have their matches that night. But what I want to move on into now is the Knight Rider, Robert Knight, from New Moon Rising Wrestling. He's back. He has some more fan mail. So I'll bring him on if I can. You know what? I'm just going to bring him on. He's been on
just
hold long enough.
Button.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. He normally gets his theme music. But Robert, welcome to Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. Thanks for hanging out there. I do apologize for not getting to you earlier. How you doing tonight, Robert?
You guys got me on or what?
Yeah, you're on. You're on. We're ready to go. We're rocking and rolling.
I've been listening to that Mutual Admiration Society for 2.5 hours now. I wasn't sure what was going on here.
My goodness,
although I do
Robert.
Remember, I do remember Papa Don from the movie The Wrestler. He was Jim Powers' tag team partner, right? So I give that guy props for that one.
Was he? Was he actually in The Wrestler?
No.
Yeah, of course he was.
I don't know. I pop culture is not my thing. Anyway, we have some fan mail. You're taking some time out. Where are you on assignment this week, Robert?
I'm all over the place. Actually, the Knight Rider's got some downtime. So tomorrow I'm going to be in Los Angeles at an Anson Williams convention. Now, for anybody who's not sure who he is, he played Potsy on Happy Days. So I'm going to a convention tomorrow, and then Friday I'm right back to work.
Okay, and like every week, we have received mounds and mounds upon mounds of fan mail for you. I'm going to read the first one, and it's from one of our close friends. It's, Dear Mr. Knight, how are you, buddy? Just wanted to send you a quick note to let you know that everyone is anxiously awaiting your return to the ring at the next New Moon Rising Wrestling event on June 30th. We are all sure that you will end any speculation as to the fact that you are indeed the United States champion. And if we have to face each other, please go easy on me. Your friend, American Roughneck.
Unbelievable. The American Roughneck. You know, the guy puts videos on Facebook and stuff all the time where he's knocking me, but it must be all those bicep curls that he's doing, because the guy gets confused. He's my number one fan. I understand how he feels. I'm not going to let him down. I'm not going to let anybody down at the next New Moon Rising Wrestling event when I prove that I am the true United States champion.
Now, he brought up in his note that you are making your return to the ring. How are you preparing for this?
I mean, I'm not doing anything that I normally don't do. I'm always prepared to go. I mean, I've upped my cardio. I'm running about 2.5 hours a day now. Aside from all the activity that I do, chasing the bad guys around all over the world. And other than that, I mean, just studying film and kit when I'm cruising, and I'm going to be ready to go no matter who steps in the ring to face me on June the 30th.
Dan, you have the second fan mail letter. Go
ahead. Yes, I'm ready. This is from a very famous movie star.
Oh, can't wait.
Robert, how you doing? I've been watching you do your thing for a while now, and I'll admit, you've made me a fan. I think you have what it takes to be a huge action star, since you are a hero and a man of justice in real life. I'd like to meet with you about starring in The Expendables 3. I've included my number. Please remember to catch Expendables 2 this summer. Go for it, Sylvester Stallone. What do you have to say about that?
Wow, that's got to be one of the greatest letters that the Knight Rider has ever received. He even got a cheap plug in there for the new Expendables coming out, but I think you guys have got the scoop right here. This is a world exclusive, a world premiere that the Knight Rider, Robert Knight, has been offered a role in The Expendables 3. Make sure you forward that phone number to me so I can have Kit give him a call later this week.
I will take care of that.
Robert, Robert, I'm looking forward to the New Moon Rising event. Again, that's June 30th. Also, you told me earlier today that you had something to say about the fan pages and there's some type of controversy going on. The floor is yours.
I mean, New Moon Rising Wrestling, from its inception back in 2011, was a vision of a guy, and for people that are on the inside, you know who that guy is, and there's been a little bit of controversy behind the scenes. So, and the fans might have caught some of it if you keep up with our Facebook page, and I just want to let him know, and I have another good friend of mine who's sitting at home right now who is a proud American, if you know what I'm saying, who's I also want him to know that I got his back. So I'm with those two guys, and I want the fans to know that nothing is going to change in New Moon Rising Wrestling. No matter what you hear, what you read, we're only going to get bigger and better than what you've seen so far.
Okay, Robert, so if people want to find that Facebook page, just search for New Moon Rising Wrestling. Is that correct?
Yeah, there's a New Moon Rising Wrestling fan page. There's also a group. So if you find the group page, that's kind of where everything goes down. We'll invite, you know, accept your invite to whoever posts on there. Also, check out the website, nmrwrestling.com, is where you get all the latest info. I have a fan page myself, and all of us are looking to, you know, get in touch with the fans. This is a very interactive company, and we need your feedback. We want to hear what you want to see, what you don't want to see. Just let us know. We're all here to help you out.
Okay, Robert, I will be seeing you June 30th. Next week, if we have more mail, I'll contact you through Kit. And I would just like to say, one man can make a difference. Can I say that this week?
You can say it, and you said it great.
Okay, one man can make a difference. That's Robert Knight. We'll be right back after this very brief music break. That was, of course, the Knight Rider, Robert Knight, and we just have to keep moving it along.
Classic.
We are a bulldozer here. We are just going from one thing to another.
Get out of the way!
What I would like to say now is Chikara is having an pay-per-view this coming Saturday, June 2nd. It's going to be held at the Trocadero in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I'm bringing him on right now. His name is Mark Angelo Setti. He is one of the throwbacks. How you doing? Thanks for hanging out. First of all, we had you on hold there for a little while. I want to thank you for your time. How's it going?
For a really long time.
I do apologize, sir.
It's all good, nerd.
But what I'd like to, I just want to ask you, you're getting in there with Colt Cabana and MMA, and you guys are, it's a loser leaves town match. Just give me, like, what's going on there?
What do you mean what's going on? Obviously, the loser of the match leaves town. And if you've been keeping up with Shakur over the past couple of seasons, you've noticed that I'm the new kid on the block.
You are Mr. Touchdown, yes.
I am Mr. Touchdown.
Yes.
Do you know why they call me that?
I'm sure you're going to tell me.
I'm going to tell you because I score touchdowns. I do not lose in the final play. I do not lose in overtime. I take what is mine, and that is the football, and I run with it. And I run with it until I make a touchdown.
So you run with the ball, you make a touchdown. Now, what does your partner do as well? That is, your partner is, good gracious, Dasher Hatfield.
Oh,
now, what
Hatfield,
does he
play
on the table?
He likes to play baseball. Other than that, just being family with him, that's how I know him. I'm not a fan of baseball. I'm a real big fan of hard-hitting football, which is what you're going to get this Saturday in Jude Second in Go Fight Live, the Shakur Source Rex. What you should be talking about is me and Archie. What you should be talking about is me and Colt Cabana.
Well, I just wanted to know what your partner, Dasher, brought to the table, but if you don't want to talk about that, I won't. And what I'll do...
He's there for the assist.
He's there
just
for
like
the assist.
Just like any great sports team. I mean, think about it. Everyone has got their assister. Someone has got to assist Mr. Touchdown to his plays. I can't do it all myself, although I probably could, but I can't do absolutely everything myself. I need Dasher to make sure that I secure the victory this weekend.
So he
I need
will
Dasher
be giving...
to make sure that I'm sticking around.
So he will be giving you the handoff there, if you will.
Pretty much. And I'm going to take the ball, and I'm going to run with it.
So, Colt Cabana, mixed martial Archie, what do you got to say to them? Because this is an open forum for you. Just have at it. Tell them what they tell them what you want them to know.
Well, what I want them to know is, simply, I feel as if, because I'm much greater than at every sport than everyone around me, that for some reason, people gotta pick on me. They think I'm stupid. They think I don't fit in. Think I work out too much. I work too hard for this. You see, on June 2nd, whether it's Archibald Peck, whether it's Boom Boom Colt Cabana, it's not going to matter because Mr. Touchdown will not leave town ever. I'm going to be around for a really, really, really long time.
So you're going to... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Well, I got to thinking, this mixed martial Archie or Archibald Peck or, whatever you want to call him, he's got to keep switching things up because obviously nothing's really working for him. He's been a loser his whole life. Why do you think he was marching in the band? Why do you think on prom night he was organizing his sock drawer? Because he is a loser. And Mr. Touchdown stands tall with all of the winners.
The throwbacks will be the winners June 2nd. Now, that's on GFLTV.TV, correct?
You got it.
And that will be coming live from the Trocadero in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Now, are you also making an appearance at the Philadelphia Comic-Con? Because that's going on as well. Are you guys going to be there as well?
I'm not so sure about Dasher, but I know myself, I do not like to read books or comics, so I will not be there hanging out with a bunch of nerds, that's for sure. I've got bigger and better things to do.
Bigger and better things, not going to hang with the nerds. I do want to thank you, Mr. Touchdown, for gracing Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. It was certainly a pleasure, and if you want to see the throwbacks in action against Colt Cabana and Mixed Martial Archie, that is this coming Saturday on iPay-Per-View. You can find it at GFL.TV. Is there anything else you wanted to say?
I did have an idea for Mixed Martial Archie or Archibald Peck or whatever he wants to call himself that, after he leaves town, after he's defeated by Mr. Touchdown this weekend, I have a perfect name for him for when he goes down to the lower indies, You could call yourself Archagon Peck.
Archagon
Peck. And then you will be gone from town.
Gone from town.
So,
Mr. Touchdown.
Archagon Peck. And, yeah, go ahead. You could say it. Mr. Touchdown is what?
Mr. Touchdown, it's a pleasure. When we have more time. Yes. When we have more time, I'd love to have you back on.
Well, thank you.
Okay. So that was, my goodness. From Chikara, they have the pay-per-view coming up.
There is a man who gets straight and to the point, and if you don't like it, I don't think he cares.
That's right. They're going to be on iPay-Per-View this Saturday night, June 2nd. My goodness, Mr. Touchdown. He really just laid it all on the line.
Here's a question. Here's my answer. Poof.
Poof. There it is. Knocked me over. He got
silence!
Got the handoff. He ran with it. Right now, I'm bringing on Omega Squad so we can talk a little bit about UFC
Omega
146 that happened this past Saturday. Omega Squad, you're on the air with Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. How are you tonight?
I'm doing pretty good, but, I don't know if I can follow that. I mean, I was in the marching band, so.
What'd you do? Did you do the triangle in the marching band?
No triangle. He did electric guitar in the marching band.
I was a little 4-foot-nothing guy with the trombone. It was pretty funny.
Oh.
Well, makes sense for the...
That's new information for me. So, this past weekend, we saw UFC 146. It happened right before our eyes on pay-per-view. The first thing I want to bring up is Dan Hardy getting back in the win column.
Yeah, I mean, he needed it, and he certainly looked like he had been training for that year that he was off. He had a pretty good clinch game, and, he came across with that left hook and put Ludwig down. It was a very good win for him. I'm not going to call it impressive, but I think it was, certainly what he needed to get back into the win column and get back into the good graces of the UFC.
The thing is with Dan Hardy, I think he always was in the good graces because four losses, I think he could have went to six and he'd still be around, but that's neither here nor there. Jason Miller, C.B. Dalloway, was another one we talked about last week. Now, what happened there was Jason Miller looked like crap again, and now he's gone from the UFC. He lost the match. C.B. Dalloway won in a decision, one of the few decisions of the night. What did you take away from that fight?
Well, I think I took away that pretty much the match went as I expected. I mean, C.B. Dalloway basically took Miller down and just smothered him for three rounds. There were some flashes of potential in Miller in the first round with a guillotine choke attempt, but like I insinuated last week, C.B. Dalloway was experienced enough to fight out of that. And from there, it was just all Dalloway for the remainder of the fight, what I kind of thought was a boring fight. Miller, I don't know if he just doesn't take it seriously enough or he's had too many fights or he really just wasn't ever that good.
I would go with that. He just wasn't.
Yeah, I tend to think the latter as well. And I don't think it's any great loss from a fighting perspective. I mean, I think he's enough of a personality that he'll land on his feet in some sort of television if it's not mixed martial arts, he can maybe get bully beat down going again.
Or something on HDNet. Yeah, something on HDNet that nobody watches.
Yeah, right.
Another thing I wanted to bring up, Mike Brown. A little bit of redemption for Mike Brown, but then he retires, apparently.
Yeah, the thing with Mike Brown, you look at the guy who was on top of the featherweight division, champion for, two, three fights, and he's fallen all the way down to opening up the Facebook card. It's a little sad because I think he had talent. And he was a good fighter at one time. He beat Uriah Faber. He was a good fighter. I don't know what happened to him. I think people just got wise to his skill set, and they just figured out his code. I mean, he almost lost that fight at the end. Almost got choked out.
Yeah.
So it's I think he's if he is retiring, that's unfortunate. But you know, at least he went out with a win, and you know, good luck to him. I guess. I think we got some featherweight division is somewhat diminished by it, but I mean, I think we got plenty of exciting fights ahead of us.
Still to come.
Yeah.
Jamie Varner also got a little bit of redemption in the undercard, it seemed. You know, you had Dan Hardy getting his win. You had Jamie Varner getting his win. And you had Mike Brown get his win. So the undercard was really a thing of redemption. Now, Jamie Varner did look pretty darn impressive in his one-round victory. Would you agree with that?
I think he looked fantastic for, you know, a guy who was out of the UFC and out of the WEC for a while. He looked good. He had great, good crisp boxing, good takedowns and control on the bottom. And he really took out a guy who was pretty highly touted and a guy who has some nice highlight KOs.
Yeah, Barbosa is quite a talent, and Varner really's back, like he said when he won the fight.
You know, if he can keep that up, is that fantastic? I mean, I think Barbosa will learn from the loss and come back stronger. You know, I kind of want to see Varner take on Donald Cerrone again and complete the trilogy. At this point, that'd be a nice fight.
I'd agree with you. I would agree with you there. Now we're jumping to the main card. It was all heavyweights. It was a big deal for UFC. We have Stefan Struve defeating LeVar Johnson very quickly with a submission. I believe, it was like 51 seconds, maybe less than that.
Yeah, it was quick. Yeah. You, what you saw there was Struve actually fighting a smart fight, using his skill set to take down Johnson. I mean, I said last week that I thought Johnson could take this if Struve decided to brawl with him. And Struve took the smart way out, pulled guard, and got the submission. And that for a guy who's only 24 years old and has 11 fights in the UFC, you don't know where the ceiling is with Struve yet.
You really don't. But, and he's had 32 total fights, you know, and that young. So
his length is going to be trouble for anybody. If he can put all the pieces together, he's going to be a tough fight for anybody.
I would like, he's so, you know, his nickname Skyscraper, so he has that reach, he has the height advantage, and once he wraps you up, he gets you. You know, there's no doubt about it, he could probably submit anybody with the exception of the top tier.
Hey, who did Brock Lesnar fight? Oh, never mind, sorry.
Brock Lesnar was in attendance, but we'll get to that, Dan.
I just wanted to say something, because I, go.
Then we had Roy Nelson. Getting a very quick victory over Dave Herman. It was a big old knockout. What do you think of Roy Nelson? Do you think he deserves another look as a contender, maybe? Or this was just a good knockout artist getting the quick KO?
Yeah, I think he's just a good knockout artist getting a quick KO. I mean, he's 36. He came in 8 pounds heavier than his last fight, so apparently is not trying to get in much better shape, although I think his stomach was slightly smaller. But, I mean, that's just nits and nats. I think Nelson's always going to be a draw. He's a personality, and he's got that KO power. But I think when he hits the upper echelon of the UFC, he just goes into punching bag mode. You know, he's either getting hit and wailed on for 3 rounds, or he's knocking people out. And you know, for an entertainment value, that could be good, I guess. But I don't see him cracking the top tier.
I would have to agree with that as well. Then we had Cain Velasquez pretty much murdered Antonio Bigfoot Silva from Strikeforce in his UFC debut. Opened up a mighty gash upon his forehead. My goodness, what do you think about that fight? And is Kane back now? He really looked like he was a man on a mission in that fight. Took down Silva within seconds and was relentless. What's your impression of Kane?
That was just a clinic in takedown and ground and pound. I was surprised that they didn't stop that fight with the amount of blinking that Silva was doing, trying to get the blood out of his eyes, and that blood was just everywhere. I mean, I guess from what I read that in the end that gash was not that bad, only took 3 stitches to close. But I mean, still, I mean, that was one of the bloodier fights in recent memory. And I think with Kane, you know, it's tough to tell from that match if he's back, but I think you can safely say that he is still probably easily number 2 in the heavyweight division. And, you know, whether or not that's going to hold up against – whether or not the loss to DeSantos was just he got caught, or, you know, it's just going to be – DeSantos is just that good, and it's going to be another quick fight ender if there is indeed a rematch between Velasquez and DeSantos. It remains to be seen, but I think Kane is really – does have the goods and is a handful for pretty much anyone in the heavyweight division right now.
I'd agree. Like I said last week, I never bought into the Cain Velasquez hype, but that was an impressive performance. Then we have the main event. It's Junior Dos Santos, Frank Mir. I don't know. He was standing right in front of Dos Santos throughout pretty much the whole fight after he missed the first takedown. And you can talk about the first takedown and how that, you know, when I get to you. But I think Mir just didn't have a game plan after that takedown went awry. Wouldn't you agree with that? Or
I don't know if – I think he gave up on the game plan. I mean, I think that was his game plan, but I don't think you can give up on the game plan after one takedown attempt when, you know, you're both fresh. You take one takedown attempt and you miss. Okay, cool. You get up, you throw a couple jabs, and you try again. If you're fighting smart, I mean, I think Mir just gave up. He either he just mentally broke, or he just frankly didn't think he had it after that one takedown. I don't understand it. I mean, I think with the title on the line, you got to at least try again. But
he did try again in the second round, but he was just, you know, his heart wasn't into it.
Well, by that time, he'd been pounded on for 4 minutes. So, I mean, it was a mistake to try to box with Dos Santos. And I think that was kind of what I said last week. And I think that's exactly how it played out in the first round. And, you know, he just got brutalized from there. I don't understand it other than that I think he just gave up and was looking for – I don't want to say he was looking for a way out, but he wasn't looking for a way to win at that point.
So where do you think Frank Mir goes from here?
Well, I mean, I think – I'm assuming he wants to keep fighting. You know, I can see Frank Mir going up against Bigfoot Silva, for example.
That'd probably be the fight for Dana White. Well, he doesn't make the matches, but that would probably be the one to go to.
I think you want to give him at least a reasonably high profile fight. He's probably not going to get back into relevance for the heavyweight title picture anytime soon, certainly, and he's not getting any younger. You know, give him Silva, I don't know what, give Silva another chance against someone who isn't going to wrestle him to the ground quite so easily as Kane did. And, you know, but I still think, I've never been convinced about Silva, but I think Mir would take that fight. And I think that's a very winnable fight for Mir. And you can build him up. And I think he can play a good gatekeeper role for you. You know,
yeah,
go through Mir before you get to the title.
I think Mir, that would probably be where he is, kind of where Guida is in the lightweights. Now, Dan made a very quick reference to it. Brock Lesnar was there. There was a lot of discussion,
ooh,
a lot of rumors. And what do you think of the Brock Lesnar rumors? Is he coming back to UFC after the WWE contract runs out?
And then
out?
I have a comment after you answer this.
I don't know. I mean, for a one-off fight, I guess. I mean, if the money is right. I think Dana would make that fight for. I think Dana makes that fight because Brock can draw money in a fight. You know, who does he fight? I don't know. Who can you find that will?
Roy Nelson is
not going to just murder him.
Yeah, Roy Nelson has been campaigning for that fight. What do you think of that?
Yeah,
Roy
I would
Nelson,
watch that.
Rock. You would watch it?
I would watch that fight. I mean, that's a guy who's gonna stand with Brock, who probably could get taken down by Brock.
Yeah.
But you know, even if Brock comes back, is his heart in it? Because you commit to something. I don't really. If he comes back, fine. But as a fan, I could care less if he comes back. I mean, he came in. He won the title in a time when the heavyweight division was light. When it started getting tough again, he couldn't hack it, and that's fine. He decided to retire.
Well, is
cool.
that his
and
sickness?
Go back to wrestling. Good.
But was that due to the disease he had, or is that
no? It's due to him wrestling.
I mean,
no. I mean, he's a physical specimen. But now he was a physical specimen coming in a time when there was fewer physical specimens in the heavyweight division. Now that we have the Junior Dos Santoses and the Cain Velasquezes of the world, he is not the top dog anymore.
Now
and
he just
didn't have the skill. He didn't have the experience and the skills to compete at that level. Now if he had not gone to WWE and had been wrestling and doing martial arts since he left college, that might be a different story.
Now, I heard a rumor that Dana White might accept him working for both companies.
I don't see that happening.
I don't see it either, but I've seen it in text in several. Well, it's the internet, so you know, you take that for you take that seriously or take that for what it is, bullcrap. But I it's something to be considered. Like, is this something that both companies look into? Like,
I think it would work out for both companies. What do you think, Omega?
I think it could work. I think it depends on how desperate Vince McMahon and Dana White are, respectively. Yeah, if Dana really needs to pop something because to make this Fox deal work, I mean, you could put Brock Lesnar on Fox and draw some ratings. You know, but I think if Vince McMahon is as much of a control freak as he is, you know, I don't see that he would let Brock fight, because especially if he gets injured, if Brock gets injured in a fight before WrestleMania, for example, then Vince is out. I don't think it's too much of a risk for WWE, and I it's just a short term bump for UFC. I don't think I would make that.
Mm. Omega Squad, you are a wise man. I want to thank you for coming on again. Next week, we can talk about the Tough Enough final.
Ugh.
All right. So
the Tough Enough final or the Ultimate Fighter final?
Nah, whatever.
The Tough Enough final? Yeah, for a second, I was like, I'm not going to say a word.
Whatever it is.
Because the wrong person won the Tough Enough final, too, but that's neither here nor there.
Well, yeah, that's... Well, you mean the guy that I was already let go?
Yeah, the we had Frank Kruda, the editor-in-chief of Pro Wrestling Illustrated, and he would agree with that assessment as well.
I'm tough enough.
But Omega, thanks for coming. We'll talk next week. How's that?
You the man.
Sounds good.
All right, so that was Omega Squad talking UFC 146 after this very brief.
What do you mean I should have won?
But after this very brief music interlude, we're going to get right to Mark Angel. I'm not sure who we're joined by, but we are now joined by...
It's a potty.
New Moon Wrestling superstar as well as DWF superstar. This is none other than Mark Angel. How are you doing tonight, Mark?
Yo, yo, I'm doing pretty good. How are you guys?
Thanks for staying with us. We have had a lot of things going on, so that's what I want to say first of all. Now, Mark, how did you break in to this fine sport of professional wrestling? Where did you train? All that sort of stuff.
Oh, God. About 10 years ago, a buddy of mine was training with this guy, Captain Rick Adams. So, you know, he brought me along to the school, and I think I lasted there a whole month until the school shut down, and I wound up at the Pro Wrestling Unplugged Animal House, where I trained with the backseats. Kind of had a falling out with Johnny Cashmere, so I ended up with Rockin' Rebel at Black Ball Wrestling and have been wrestling ever since.
Now, what was the match, we asked this of all our guests, what was the match that you saw that said, this is what I'm going to do, this is what I have to get into?
Wasn't really a particular match, per se. It was something that I just kind of stumbled upon. And once I discovered wrestling, that was it. I was hooked instantly. There's not one specific match as a kid that I remember, like, oh, man, I want to do this. But as I got older and, you know, started watching more Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart, those are the guys that really made me want to do what I do.
Okay, now, in DWF, as well as a little bit in New Moon Rising Wrestling, you have a long-standing feud with LJ Cruz. Where did that start, and why you two just don't like each other, I take it?
No, we absolutely hate each other, no matter where we go, no matter what company we're at. You know, if we're going against each other, we're looking to kill each other. You know, it all started, he's the champ. I'm the center of attention. I need that belt. And, you know, he got lucky back in November. We had a little three-way at a DWF show, and, you know, he rolled me up, and, you know, he got the 1-2-3. Lucky count. And, you know, it's been going on ever since. You know, what was it, our April show, it rained right before our match. So, you know, he got out of having to, you know, get his butt kicked by me that month. Last month, he conveniently goes to Florida on the same day we have a show. So, you know, he's out there instead of being here. He knows he can't beat me. So now, June 30th, I laid the challenge out at the last DWF show. June 30th, LJ, it's you and me one more time. This could be my last opportunity at the Cruiserweight title. So I need this more than anything I've ever needed before.
Who currently holds that Cruiserweight title? Is that young fella? He looks like he's 15.
No, that's LJ Cruz is the DWF Cruiserweight champion.
Okay.
That little Justin Bieber kid, that's Owen O'Neill. He's the TV by demand champion.
Yes, Owen O'Neill, that was it. The one who needs his mom to sign his release.
yep, that's him.
Anyway, I just want to say that DWF, I really had a fabulous time there. It's a really exciting promotion. And if it's outdoors, it's free. Am I correct when I say that? It's a free show.
Yeah, for the most part, yeah. We've been having a couple free shows, you know, to give back to the fans, you know, that have supported us over the years. And, you know, it's just our way of saying thank you by, you know, having a couple free shows for them.
It's a wonderful time. People should really check it out. What's better than free? And it's family entertainment. So definitely check out DWF. That's one thing I want to say. Now, do you have any idea? The June 30th card for New Moon Rising Wrestling, do you have any idea what's going on yet? Have you been contacted?
As of right now, I don't know what's going on with it yet. I have been contacted. I am booked. I believe it's an afternoon show. I think it's a 2 p.m. bell time, if I'm not mistaken. At least, you know, that's what I've been told. And I believe there's rumors going around that there might be a U.S. title tournament that night, or that afternoon, so...
That's what the Knight Rider, Robert Knight, has been saying. It's either a tournament or some type of match. And I believe Ryan has a question for you. Go ahead, Ryan.
Sure, go ahead.
Well, what I was going to ask you is, how did you align yourself in DWF with your current manager?
With Loudy and Three of a Kind, yeah. It's kind of all the, you know, all the right pieces fell into place. Back in October, I had a loser-leave match with the Bulldozer, Matt Tremont. And me and Loudy, we sat down, we worked out a little deal. You know, he helped me, and you know, we've been running ever since October. You know, we got rid of the Bulldozer out of DWF, and ever since then, you know, it's been full throttle.
So Matt Tremont was actually part of DWF at that time.
He was. He was there. He's actually been there a lot longer than most people know. And like I said, it's all culminated in October when we had that loser-leave match. And, yeah, it was definitely a blood fest, but, you know, with the help of Loudy, I got through it and Spawn Three of a Kind and everything else. Me and Xavier Cross and Loudy, Dante Morell. And it was Stan the Man Styles, but Stan got hurt, so, you know, he's on the shelf for a little while.
Okay, so the other thing I wanted to ask, in DWF, LJ Cruz, now, is that match actually signed? I don't know where I was when you said that. I know you put the challenge out, but has he accepted the challenge?
I sure as heck hope so. I mean, I'm pretty sure if I know LJ Cruz, he won't back down from a challenge. He has been a fighting champion. And like I said, he's been ducking me. He got lucky with the rain. You know, he ducked me out in the Florida. So it's put up or shut up, LJ.
And one other thing about DWF, Salamander Jones, how do you like him? It's an interesting concept what DWF does. They have the live commentary over the microphone, over the PA system. Do you like that whole setup? Do you like having – because normally there's nothing like that in any other independent promotion I've seen. So do you like that change when you go to a DWF show and you have that live commentary with Salamander Jones?
Salamander Jones is definitely one of the best commentators in the business right now. He's a very good ring announcer. Like I said, one of the best commentators in the business. He knows what he's doing. He knows what he's talking about. And the live commentary, it doesn't really affect me. To be honest with you, I really don't even know it's there while it's going on. I think it's a really cool concept. It just doesn't, you know, some guys don't like it. Some guys like it. You know, some fans like it. Some fans don't like it. I mean, not going to please everybody, but, I mean, I think it's a pretty cool concept.
And do you have anything that you want to say to any of your fans, whoever might be listening out there? Do you have anything you want to say?
I just want to say thanks, whether you guys have booed me, cheered me, whatever the case is. Thanks for supporting us, me, DWF, New Moon Rising, any other company that I've wrestled for or, you know, you've seen me. Just a shout-out to James. James, do the pose, buddy.
And that's the major, right? That's the major you just gave that shout-out to, right?
That's Major McClendon. Yeah, that's him.
All right. I'm thinking of getting him on as a guest as well in the near future. DWF, I do have to say I really like the product I saw. Looking forward to the double shot on June 30th of first New Moon Rising Wrestling in Woodbury and then DWF later on that night. So that's going to be an exciting night. But I just want to thank you. And I think Ryan has a comment very quickly for you.
Sure.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that, honestly, I find you to be pretty darn good in the ring, and I expect you to, in your career, to go big places, go really far. So I just want to tell you, I'm impressed.
Oh, thank you very much, man. That means a lot. I appreciate that.
Okay, and do you have anything you wanted to plug, Mark?
You can check us out on Facebook, you know, Facebook.com, /MarkAngel24. You can check us out on YouTube, you know, TVbydemand.com, where Three of a Kind is pretty much featured every single week because we own that show. And that's about it. I mean, check out Three of a Kind, you know, follow us, support us, Xavier Cross, Loudy, Dante Morell, and, you know, the center of attention, Mark Angel.
Mark, it's a pleasure. I want to thank you for coming on. I'll book you again because I feel we kind of rushed through this. So you're definitely welcome again. To come on anytime. But thank you for coming on, and thank you for your time.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, guys.
Okay, so everyone, that was Mark Angel. Dan, get it in very quickly. You had something you wanted to break before we go to OT.
No, Ryan wants to break this. Go ahead, Big Red.
Thank you, Dan. I appreciate that. We have breaking news. Randy Orton has been suspended for 60 days for breaking for violating the wellness policy for the second time.
That's okay. He's kind of like Stone Cold Steve Austin, minus all of the charisma.
I think you're being a little too generous with that one, just saying.
Probably, but...
So,
AWOL!
So you guys definitely don't like the Randy Orton.
No, you mean the Diamond Cutter guy? Yeah, no, I don't.
Not a fan.
I'll take DDP over Randy Orton any day of the week. And
I'll take Doink over Randy Orton.
Okay, so just hold on a second, guys. We're going to go into overtime.
Oh, my God.
Hell in a Cell Talk Radio is available at blogtalkradio.com. Hell in a Cell, live every Wednesday night at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Or subscribe on iTunes. Just search for Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. Well, I didn't time that properly, but anyway, guys, we're in overtime. What I want to get to in overtime, we have the ECWA breakdown. We'll go through the card. And Randy Orton, do we have anything else we want to say about Randy, or was one
he
minute
sucks.
Enough?
I don't even want to give him any more.
He sucks.
Don't even give him any more.
Bye. Time. Bye.
Yeah. So you guys really don't like Randy Orton? That's...
Do you like Randy Orton?
I think he's a good hand. Yeah.
I don't appreciate the pooper scooper. I'm sorry.
You know, that's neither here nor there. But anyway, we have coming up on June 2nd, that's this Saturday,
where we'll be doing a live pre-show on blogtalkradio.com/hellinacell.
Yes, we will be live. I'll talk to Brady. I'm not sure if he's going to stream it like he did for the New Moon show, but I certainly do hope so.
Mr. Brady, if you're listening.
I'll talk to him. But we have the ECWA raising the bar, headlined by Papa Don and Adam Cole, who both called in tonight. Now, starting off the show, Ryan, is some women's action with Jessie Kay and Tina San Antonio. I don't know much about Tina San Antonio, but we have seen Jessie Kay before. I'm going to go with Jessie Kay just because I've seen her wrestle before, quite frankly.
I'm kind of in the same boat you are. I'm going with Jessie Kay also because she scares me and I owe her a little bit of money. So,
yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. You did short her for the picture that you got. I forgot about that.
Yeah, they so don't worry. If you get this, I will pay you back. I promise.
She's charging for pictures?
Yeah, she charges for pictures. $5, was it?
No, it was $3.
You didn't even have $3. Oh, my God.
I had like big bills. I didn't have little, and she didn't have change. So,
oh my God!
And I asked to borrow, a dollar worth of change from him and from you, Dean, and you just didn't have it.
I did not have it. I felt like you were at a bus stop in Camden. I'll get into that story a little bit later on. Anyway, we have the next match is Blackheart versus the Rainbow. First time ever, we have beautiful Bobby Shields with Joel Blackheart taking on Cole Calloway.
Well, I personally, I think it's a toss up. To be honest with you, two good wrestlers that are going to battle it out. But whenever you have Joel Blackheart, on the outside, that kind of to me tips the scales just a little bit in Bobby Shields' favor.
So Bobby Shields, who I do want to mention, he did win the Valor Pro Wrestling title at the show we went to in Ridgeline, Pennsylvania. So he is a champion. He won't be recognized as such at ECWA. But I really like beautiful Bobby Shields with or without Joel Blackheart. I'm going with beautiful Bobby Shields as well. Now we have a grudge match, first time ever again. We have Kid America, who has been, we know it's Mike Keener now. He's taking on the greatest America hero, Corey Blaze. Before I get into any discussion about it, Mike Keener is now my hero, so I'm going with Mike Keener.
I'm also going with Mike Keener. I'm going to be kind of upset I can't get on him for when he makes a questionable referee decision, but you know what? I still think he's got the momentum going for him, so I would say Keener. Or, I'm sorry, Kid America.
He definitely had the momentum. It was a surprise attack. Pulled out the mask, put it on at the last show while the music was playing, and attacked Corey Blaze and really fired up Mike Keener. I didn't know the guy had it in him.
I didn't either. And to be honest with you, I think not only did he surprise Corey Blaze, but he surprised us too, which makes it all the more impressive. That's how you know you sneak attack someone. When even we were shocked.
Of all the things that happened that night, Ooh La La getting beat down, the Mid-Atlantic title change, Tartaglia buying it, I still got to go with the moment of the night was Mike Keener attacking Corey Blaze. That's just my opinion. Who am I? But whatever. Then we have an ECWA dream match. Again, another first time ever. We're going to have the Grand Slam champion, Aiden Chambers, who has always been impressive in my mind, taking on Kakoa the Flying Hawaiian, who, as we talked to last week, has had a very disappointing 2012. Where do you see this one going? Who you picking? What do you got?
I don't know. That's a tough call. This is going to be just – this might be the show stealer. I mean, this is going to just be an incredible match. And
I'm going with Kakoa.
I don't know. I mean, that's – I think I'm gonna. I think Kakoa's gonna finally break out of his slump. I just feel that it's gonna be his night to really rebound the rest of this year.
Aiden Chambers. Last month, he was involved in the Four Corners the Four Corners Contenders match. I'm sorry, and he was really impressive in that match. Lost. Actually, Aiden Chambers has had a very disappointing 2012 in ECWA as well. He's 0-2 because he wrestled Papadon in his first match back, and he lost that Four Corners match.
That's true.
So he's the one who actually tapped out, if I'm not mistaken, in that match. No, it was Johnny Silver. I'm sorry. Johnny Silver is the one who tapped out. But regardless, I'm still going. I got to go with Aiden Chambers. You know, old school ECWA, Aiden Chambers for the win.
Like I said, I mean, that's going to be a good one. It's tough. It's a tough call. I mean, they're two great competitors. Very evenly matched. I mean, how do you pick one or the other in that match?
I really got to agree with you.
You point to one and go, that one.
It really can
that
be
basically
that.
Really, with those two, that basically is what you got to do. Just, you know, draw straws or do
really,
eeny, meeny, miny, mo or something.
It's really a match where they both have a very similar style. They both have a very similar way that they show themselves in the ring. So And it's like you said, this could really steal the thunder. It could really be the match of the night.
And it's funny that we're saying that with matches like...
with what's coming up, yeah, with what we're getting into now.
I mean, Adam Cole and Papadon, you got, the tag champs, Fusion DX against Bandido and Azrael. I mean, and this is what we're talking about as a potential match stealer. I mean, that's pretty crazy stuff.
I agree. Now, the next match... is that we're talking about is ECWA Mid-Atlantic title match, another first time ever. We have the boss, that despicable, low life, good for nothing,
Schmuck.
Mike Tartaglia.
Ooh, that's Tartaglia.
That's right. He is the Mid-Atlantic champion. He bought the title. He'll tell you that Kakoa, that he wrestled Kakoa, but whatever. He's taking on...
Pictures or it didn't happen.
Mr. Ooh La La with Coach Jim Shorts. Where do you see this one going, Ryan?
I don't know. I mean, I really thought that Ooh La La had the momentum going into the last event, and then all of a sudden the beatdown, you know, I just felt like it kind of zapped a lot of the momentum that he had. But I think this is his chance to rebound. He's going to have the crowd on his side.
That's for
sure. Especially that despicable Tartaglia. You know, I would have to say at this point, you know, I got to go with Ooh La La. I just feel like with the crowd, we're going to be behind them. You know, we're going to be doing our Ooh La La's.
I'm going to have the Red Bull for them.
Absolutely. The Coyote.
Yeah, yeah. Going to have it for them.
Keeping it G, just saying.
That's right. But I'm going with Ooh La La as well. I think it's his time. He's already a Hall of Famer. He's already had the tag team titles. He's already had the Mid-Atlantic title. I think it's time for another reign for Mr. Ooh La La.
Not
or should I say,
don't forget Lifetime Achievement Award, too.
That's right. So Majir Ooh La La is going to add to his closet that's almost as impressive as Papadon's. Next match we're talking about is the Unified Tag Team title match. First time ever. Yet again, we have Fusion DS, Damian Dragon, Matt Saigon taking on the CZW Tag Team Champions, Bandido Jr. and Azrael. I'm so torn on this match. I don't know who to pull for. Ryan,
I have to admit, I'm in the same boat you are. I'm really torn. I might just root for both teams. And either team that wins, you know what, I'll be happy either way. You know, I'll do some Olays, I'll do some fusion chants, and I'll be a happy person.
I'm telling you, this match, never in the history since I've been going to ECWA has a match so divided me as to who I'm going to go for. Maybe Papadon and Bandido Jr., but this one's even more, divides me even more than that.
Well, I mean, you know, with the fact that we've gotten to really know Fusion and Bandido, I mean, it's a hard one because, you know, you build those personal connections with people. And it's like, you know, who do you root for in this case? It's such a hard choice.
Well, I think you have to go with the guy who gave you a hug. That's Matt Saigon.
I do. I you know, the bro hug power, you know, the bro hug might be a little too much for me to go against them.
That is true. So I hope it ends in a double count out or something along those lines, because frankly, I don't want to see one team lose and one team win.
I agree with you. I really do. As much as I hate to admit it, for this one, I just have to say that, you know, I don't know. I'm not picking a winner. I'm just going to wait and see what happens with you know, held breath and hope that, you know, neither team really truly loses the match.
But definitely some Olays will be given that night.
Oh, absolutely. Some Olays and some fusion chants. Like I said, I'll do both and I'll be very happy.
It's going to be. Yeah, it's next up is the TWA heavyweight title match. This has Falls Count Anywhere. We spoke with Chris Wilde last week about it. We have the Heart Killer, Chris Wilde. He is the champ, taking on Breaker Morant. And again, with that good-for-nothing, lousy snake in the grass.
Son of a gun.
Joel Blackheart will be at ringside. So where do you, how do you see this one, Ryan?
I don't know. That's a little harsh to call Joel. I mean, Mike Tartaglia, I understand, but come on, it's Joel we're talking about here. Let's not get a little too crazy. You know, you can't get much more history of ECWA and TWA than Joel Blackheart, I mean. But as far as that being said, I just, let's just put it this way. I'm not a huge fan of Breaker Morant. Excuse me. Not a big fan, and I think Chris Wilde on that one. I can't root for the moron. I mean, the Morant. And I'm going with Chris Wilde, Heart Killer, on that one.
Okay, so the Heart Killer, Chris Wilde. I'm going to agree with you. I don't think this reign is going to end soon for Chris Wilde. And then finally, we have the Super 8 champion, the ECWA heavyweight champion. We have the title match, the Greek God Papadon, who called in earlier tonight, taking on our guest, Ring of Honor star, Adam Cole. How do you see that one, Ryan?
Oh, I mean, this is another one I'm absolutely torn for.
Can I pick?
Yeah, no, go ahead, Dan. You pick
Adam Cole.
Oh, I don't know. That's a tough call.
Papadon must be defeated.
You know, just for that, I think I'm going Papadon. I like both guys. I think Adam Cole is
front runner.
You know, well, you know, I'm not crazy enough to get on the bad side of the Greek God. Are you kidding? And I'll tell
Come
him right
off
the speech. I'll tell him, sir, I am absolutely bowing down and not getting on your bad side.
Why break precedent? And I'm not bowing down to anybody.
Ryan and I have in the past bowed as he made his entrance, but I'm going to go with Papadon as well.
Yeah, I just think that Papadon's got a little more experience, and that's gonna a lot more experience, and that's gonna give him the edge.
Hey, was Papadon in the PWI Top 500 ever?
No, he never was. Last year, he was not ranked, and he went to Brady actually, and threw the magazine in Brady's face because he was very, very agitated that he was not listed.
Yeah, I don't understand how he's never been in the top 500 at any point.
Yeah, I would have thought, all differences aside, that he would be at the top 500.
Well, The Undertaker wasn't in the top 500 in, like, 92, and it was, like, a big deal that they forgot. So, it happens. People are overlooked at times.
Well, he only had four moves at the time.
Well, yeah, back then. Are you in a wind tunnel, Dan?
I was in a wind tunnel, yes, and I'm about to go back in a wind tunnel right now.
God damn. Okay, so
funny.
This show.
I laughed. I thought it was funny.
This show, absolutely amazing. Now, I do want to just get into the TNA call. Dan, if you do have to go, you can.
This is what I wanted to hear.
Okay, then.
By the way, I found out the whole conference call real quick, Ryan. I will post it on the Twitter feed. Is available through TNA Wrestling on their YouTube page, the whole thing. So you can actually listen to the conference call today.
Yeah, they said that it would be all available later in the day. I just didn't know exactly when it would be available.
Well, I got it.
There you go.
Now go.
All right, so a couple things more to talk about. So, Dixie, one of the big things Dixie talked about, which caught my attention, was the fact that she wants to cut their pay-per-view schedule. She's in the process of trying to cut the pay-per-view schedule, cut their contracts to no more than 10. She'd rather be around 6 to 8 max, but 10 is what she wants to be. Now, keep in mind, this is coming in the fact that they make money. They actually do make a profit on the pay-per-views with the buy rates and all they actually do make a profit, which is – so that was a big thing that she talked about, really trying to do other things to help fill that financial void that would be left if they cut down the number of pay-per-views they had.
Woman after my own heart on that one. Go. Talking. Keep moving.
All right, here we go. Brooklyn shows. They do house shows there. Huge house shows. People from New York calling. They want to see a Brooklyn pay-per-view. They're in the process of making that happen. So pay-per-view from Brooklyn, looking like it's going to happen.
Cool.
Don't know why that was a big thing, but caught my attention. I thought it was kind of interesting.
Money show up.
They asked if she's looking at talent, big talent that's out there right now, established wrestlers, a.k.a. John Morrison, Bella Twins, people like that.
Boo.
Let's just say she said, she didn't say no. Let's just put it that way. That they're always looking at experienced people, and there could be something in the works.
Okay.
So she didn't say no, she said the opposite of no, which is yes.
Well, yeah, she said they were looking, and that, some things in the future could very well happen, come to fruition.
Cool.
One of the things that she made a big impact. One of the big things she made a big point of talking about was with the gut check segments and how they really wanted to bring about the behind-the-scenes aspect of the company, the business that you don't really get to see very much. So they're very real segments. A couple weeks ago, the very first contestant, they were getting ready to tell him no. She talked about how she was behind the stage and thinking about what she was going to tell him, like, sorry, you tried, that kind of a thing, maybe next time kind of a thought. And then Ric Flair changed his mind. They changed their mind and voted him in. And so she had to come up with something completely different, she talked about.
Now, was there something about Daphne? I think Dan
Daphne
is waiting for bated breath on that.
Yeah, I would love to hear their side of the story.
Well, look, they didn't go into detail as far as the actual
lawsuit
situation and all. What they did talk about was storylines, and one of the things they mentioned was her name came up with being mentioned with storylines and how they really need to follow up with storylines and how they really are trying to starting a program and not just all of a sudden leaving it in the middle,
something
they've been very guilty of and that they're really working hard to try and change. Even Vince, has been known to do that from time to time, just saying. And speaking of Vince,
Stacey Keebler's baby.
A couple things happened, that storyline started that never happened. Mm-hmm. And speaking of Vince, there was actually a great joke that was brought up by one person who said that when TNA passes and eventually takes down WWE, would she be willing to hire Vince McMahon to be TNA's general manager, much like Eric Bischoff was hired by Vince? So I thought that was actually very funny.
Yeah.
Her answer was, it was meant for her to laugh, and she laughed. And she said absolutely yes, she would, if Vince wanted to come on board.
Full spunk she is.
All right, so Ryan, he covered the TNA, the TNA press conference. Thank you, Brady.
Real quick, if you don't mind me, one last thing real fast.
Sure.
A couple last real fast things. Six-sided ring was asked about it being used again. She said the wrestlers like the four-sided ring better. Maybe for special occasions that would be used, but very unlikely we'll ever see the six-sided ring again.
If the wrestlers then don't bother.
Absolutely. And one other thing, too, is that in India, they have a spin-off promotion of the company, kind of a child of the parent company there. And they are working for a couple more all-spin companies in the UK and in Australia as well.
See, I like – and then, Dean, you can do what you're going to do. off the company into a separate company.
Well, one of the things that, she talked about was how, they're really building up the spinoff company in India and how it's really turning into a big success and a lot of the young talent coming from there that they can use And I think that's what they're kind of trying to see a lot of in places with untapped potential, like in Australia, like a the UK, like a New Zealand, those type of places. They're really trying to build on that.
Well, the market is a little bit hotter, and the foreign market has always been hotter for pro wrestling. I don't understand why WWE hasn't done something like that. So,
with WCW?
Well, with whatever. I mean, you know, not make SmackDown, but have another brand over there, NXT or something. But they have plans for NXT, and that's not the time or the place now to talk about that. But
let's just say it's stupid.
Yeah, but all I was going to say, Ryan covered that for us. Great job. And thank you.
One last question. Did you ask a question?
No, I did not get a chance to ask a question. I was racking my brain trying to come up with great questions. I had a list of about 10 questions, and what do you know? Before I had a chance to go on and ask, everybody had asked the questions I come up with.
Son of a bitch.
There was a good, I'd say, at least a good 100 questions asked. I mean, it was a lot. And some people even had follow-up questions.
Right.
One of the things that I know, Dean, you have a big pet peeve for was actually discussed, and that's unprotected chair shots. I know you're just, in this day and age, I know you are absolutely not a fan of that.
Not at all.
And that was one of the things that was asked and talked about, was that she's very conscientious of making sure that the wrestlers are safe. And as a company, they made a big effort to get rid of unprotected chair shots.
Okay, so if you make an effort, then why is it still going on?
I don't know. I haven't seen it, to be honest with you, with them. I have not seen an unprotected chair shot with them.
They've done it here and there. It's not like every show, like an ECW show in the day, but they've done it more than any other promotion I've seen. But I do want to thank you for covering that.
No problem. That was absolutely just an honor to cover such an amazing event like that. So hopefully there'll be more in the future I'll get a chance to cover.
Hopefully. That came from Brady Hicks. He sent it along, said if anybody wanted to get in on it, go ahead. So, Brady, thank you yet again.
Yes, thank you, Brady. Thank you so much for giving me that cool experience.
And I would be remiss if I don't bring up the plug session, as I call it. We have ECWAProWrestling.com. You can go there and find out everything about the June 2nd Raising the Bar there as well. Also, check out www.chikarapro.com. Find out everything you need to know about their iPay-per-view coming up on GFL.tv coming up this Saturday, June 2nd. Also, check out NMRWrestling.com. Check out DevastationWrestling.com as well. And, of course, check out AdamColePro.com. For all the information about Adam Cole. You can also find Adam on Facebook, and that is Adam Cole Pro on Facebook and on Twitter as well. And we also have Mark Angel. You can find him on Twitter, MarkAngel24. You can also find Omega Squad at Twitter.com, at Omega Squad. You can find Ryan at RyanBigRed86 on Twitter.
And that's
you can
two D's.
Two D's, I'm sorry. You can find Robert Knight at RobertKnight_. You can find us at HIAC Talk Radio on Twitter. You can find me personally at Folsom County. And you can find Dan at DanLaw83 on Twitter. Mark should be back next week.
If not, I'll kill him.
I'm not certain. But, Ryan, thanks for filling in here and there. You got a few questions in. I do appreciate that.
No problem. Thank you for having me be filling for him.
Yeah, but I think it was a really fantastic show. Going to listen to it as soon as we go off. But
thank you.
Guys, it was an awesome show. Let me just find the outro, and then we can get the hell out of here, because we got a live show coming up on Saturday that we got to prepare for.
And what time is it going to be out again?
We are going to start at 5:30 p.m. We'll talk very briefly off the air. A little bit of plans. I know Dan has to go, but let's talk off the air.